Welcome to Breakdown. I'm Charles Ames. Today we'll talk with Linda Farmer, Pierce County Auditor, what she loves about her job and what she thinks people need to know. Next, in Both Sides Now, we'll have a debate about abortion. And then I'll finish with a review of 2023. That's all coming up now in Breakdown. Let's roll. This is Charles Ames with KTAH-FM. Today I'm talking with Pierce County Auditor Linda Farmer. How are you, Linda?
Hi, Jazz. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. It is a thrill. And I'd like to think of you as a friend, but as you work your way around the government, then by golly, I'm going to be tugging on your strings, asking for an interview, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Anytime. And a shout out to a fellow Lake Woodian.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's talk about the Pierce County Auditor. The audience, I want to take into account that maybe the lowest common denominator may not auditor. What the, do you guys, you count all the money? What is it? What things does a Pierce County Auditor do?
Oh my gosh, this was the biggest question that I got when I was running for this office a year ago was, what the heck does an auditor do? What do you audit? And well, the answer is, well, we don't audit. Here in Washington State, your county auditor isn't your main financial person, at least here in Pierce County. So the auditor we have, I have 60 staff. I'm basically an elected department director. We have an annual budget of $12 million. And the most visible thing that we do, not our biggest book of business, but the most visible thing we do is we run elections for Pierce County. And so we serve 114 jurisdictions here in the county. We work with over 500 elected officials on a variety of levels. We maintain a registered voter database of about 550,000 folks at any given time, and it is growing. And we do work on 4 to 5 elections per year. We'll have 5 elections here in 2024 because this is a presidential primary year. So that's the biggest, most visible.
You don't have to worry about job security anytime soon.
Goodness, no. Goodness, no.
All right. Maybe we'll... I wanted to... People are always talking about false ballots. The same people who all of a sudden say there's such a thing as fake news or alternative facts, as they like to call them. So can you tell us about layers of security? It's not just as simple as dumping a bunch of ballot copies in a ballot box. What are the layers of security that assure that a vote is going to be accurate?
Accurate, fair, secure, timely.
Thank you.
Yes, we do all of that. The layers of security, I'm really glad you put it that way. Everything is done from the beginning with security in mind. And it starts with your voter registration. And you are issued an ID number, a unique voter ID number that goes with you. And so, for example, this happens quite a bit. There's 18 days for you to complete your ballot, and maybe it got lost. Maybe the dog ate it. Maybe it's somewhere in your house and you need to be issued a new ballot. And so we will do that for you. No problem. We will issue you a new ballot, but we will invalidate the first ballot. So there is absolutely no way that you can vote 2 ballots. And if by chance you happen to move to another state and you vote in that state using their system and you vote in our state using our system, we communicate with other states and we're double checking those things. And so it starts with a unique voter ID, and we're paying close attention to who is in our system. Once the ballots come back to our office. Oh, let me just not even start there. You have a couple of ways to return your ballots. You can drop it in the U.S. mail. But here in Pierce County, our drop boxes, we have 50 and counting across the county, and they're very popular. In the last general election, over 60% of Pierce County voters chose to put their ballots in a drop box, which makes me very happy. I personally love drop boxes. And these things are are very big. They weigh, I don't have the exact number of pounds, but they're incredibly, it's incredibly hard. If you were to ram a semi into it, it might knock it off its footing. They're bolted into the concrete, but it would be very difficult to damage this structure. There are fire suppression systems inside. You can't light these things on fire. The ballot slot itself is teeny tiny and skinny, and it fits a ballot and pretty much not much else. And so we have security in mind, physical security in mind when it comes to your drop box. We always send people out in teams of two. They're trained and they're watching each other, and they are, they're sealing the doors, unsealing the doors when they open it. They're sealing them up. They're taking photographs. They're using a GPS tracking system. So we know where our teams are going, how long they're spending at a drop box, and when they make it back. And so we're tracking these ballots within an inch of their lives. And everything is done in teams of two for security and transparency.
And when you get these votes back, I mean, and there's barcodes, there's signature comparison, there's secrecy envelopes.
Yep. We haven't even gotten to that process yet. And we do invite everybody to come in and watch what happens at the Pierce County Election Center. We have got our ballot opening teams. These are paid, trained, usually retired professionals who can have time off during the day to do this job. Our ballot openers, literally, that's all they do is they remove the ballot from the secrecy envelope and they're counting and they're making sure that they're supposed to be 250 ballots in a batch, and they're double and triple checking that they have the number of ballots. They're not, you know, stuffing one in their pocket. They're not noticing that their colleague, everything is done in teams of two. And then the ballots move on to our tabulation system. We take photographs of their signatures. So they're uploaded into our electronic system so that we can match those against the signature that's on file. We also have the ability to match that to the latest signature on their driver's license. So if you renew your driver's license last year and you registered to vote 10 years ago, your signature might have changed a little bit. And so we have a relationship with the Department of Licensing, and we import that signature so that we have it on file so that we can make sure we've got the latest. And if there's a problem with the signature, if it doesn't look quite right, or if it happens to match your wife's signature or somebody else in your household, then we put up some red flags and we start contacting voters at that stage and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. Help us figure this out.
And it says right on the envelope your phone number in case there is an issue, but I imagine that's on file as well. Let's see, when it comes to the voting itself, was there anything else you think we need to state about that? Because, go ahead.
Yes, I do want to point out that the Pierce County Election Center is very secure. It's open and we're welcome. Visitors are welcome to come in. They have to sign into our system. Our tabulation room is air gapped, meaning that nothing in there, none of that equipment touches the internet. And so it's not hackable. It's not accessible. Everything is counted and signatures are verified in other parts of the room. But once all of that data goes into the tabulation room where they hit the button and they make everything happen, I want to stress that only seven people in the county have access to that room. And they don't even let me have access to that room. It is locked down to very high level personnel.
Okay, you got seven folks there, and I've only got time for a couple more questions, but I want to get in real quick. What is Pierce County or the Pierce County Auditor's need when it comes to volunteers? Are you covered with that, or is there any folks that might be able to help out and then see for themselves how well orchestrated it operates?
So we do have an observation program, a voter observation program. And so we are looking for folks to come out, particularly on election night. That's what we're focusing on. We've got 50 drop boxes and counting, and we would love to be able to send folks out in teams of two to watch our staff to make sure we're doing everything correctly. So people have the opportunity to take a training. This isn't just show up at your drop box. You need to take a training, and then you can do that.
Now, you mentioned that 60%, I think, use the ballot boxes, but I didn't want to mislead people in terms of how much participation you're getting in terms of a sector of the voting electorate.
So it pains me that Pierce County has a historically low voting turnout compared to other counties in Washington. We are typically in the bottom five. A lot of times we're in the bottom three. For this last election, we were actually number six. And so there are any number of explanations for why voter turnout might be low. It's actually low nationally right now. We're in a kind of a shared moment. But that doesn't explain our history. And so one of the things that I am going into in 24 is establishing Pierce County Elections' first ever voter education and outreach program. We've never formally had a program to increase, aimed at increasing voter turnout, aimed at increasing awareness, aimed at just educating voters on how it all works. Every state votes a little differently.
Right. All right, we've only got a few seconds remaining, and I wondered if you had any final thoughts. It just whips by, and maybe someday I'll have a half hour interview with you, but here's what we got, I'm afraid, Madam Auditor.
No worries. The auditor's office does perform a really important role in society. Most of what we do is really behind the scenes. And so I want to give a shout out to our staff who handle all of the recording and the licensing functions for Pierce County. We license pets and businesses, 15 different business types in unincorporated Pierce County. We handle all of the vehicle, auto, boat, RV renewals, and we record over 180,000 documents a year, deeds, mortgages, liens, that sort of thing. So we're doing some really good work quietly behind the scenes.
And that reminds me, I had to go to the auditor's office to get a copy, certified copy of my military DD-214, and then got three certified copies as well. So veterans, if you're listening, don't rule that out. Linda Farmer, this was a joy and eye-opening. And so I really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you so much. I could talk all day about it. Happy to come back.
I will make that happen. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
This is Charles Ames. I'm talking with my good friend, Phil Kiever. He is holds a doctorate. He teaches at Liberty University. Got his book re-released, 182 Days in Iraq, but as always, the most important consideration here is that he is my debate partner. We come from different sides of the aisle, but we are both veterans and we both hold strong views about any given topic. How are you doing today, Phil?
Better than I deserve. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, and I'm sure I do as well. All right, well, today the topic I have selected that we have kind of lined up is that of abortion. It seems to have never been as critical as it is earlier this year when we got a new slate of Supreme Court justices, and somehow a case just happened to come up that seemed to question the rights of abortions and has completely changed the political landscape here in the States. Phil, I hold that people should have rights. I feel that women should have the right to make the decisions as they see fit. And I don't know how that two white males can make the decisions for them.
First of all, I am pro-life. I am adopted. I was a public adoption in the state of Washington. my birth mother chose life rather than abortion during a very, very troubling part of her life. Actually, she was going to prison. She got sentenced to 10 years there in Washington State not long after she gave me up for adoption. So she chose life. Now, I'm just going to get right down to a really just inflammatory observation. If someone in the state of Washington were to shoot a pregnant mother, and both her and her unborn child die, or under the eyes of the law, the fetus were to cease living, you're charged with two counts of murder. But if that woman were to go and have an abortion legally, you know, in any of the states where it is still legal to do so, she does so without any legal jeopardy. And the logical side of my brain just cannot untie that Gordian knot.
What you're discussing, of course, is a long shot, so to speak, as you've accused me of before in the past, a stretch. So I want to move on, and with whatever time we have, I think it's important for me to point out that sometimes it's a question of conservatives telling liberals, progressives, to back up against a wall. And with your indulgence, I'd like to give you an example. Phil, okay, fine. Conservatives don't like abortion. Then we need contraceptive funding. But cons don't like paying for others. Well, fine. Then we need a Plan B emergency contraception. But cons don't like contraception. Fine. Then we need kids to go to sex ed classes.
Okay.
But cons don't like sex ed classes.
I don't think.
Let me finish, Phil. Fine. Take some time off and get ready to have the kid. But cons won't support maternal leave. Fine. Go ahead and have the unwanted kid. But cons don't want single moms on welfare. Fine. Give them to gay parents who want to raise kids, Phil. We're just being backed up against the wall and being told back up farther.
I think Pete Buttigieg and his husband Chastain make wonderful adoptive parents, and I'm pretty sure last time I checked, they are both gay. I don't want to impose my moral beliefs on any woman. I want a woman to have the right to choose. I hope and I pray and I legislate that she chooses life. Ultimately, that is a woman's decision, and I hope all the liberal women and all the liberal men out there hear me. It is their decision. I hope they choose life. My mother chose life. Through 23andMe, I've been blessed. I have been able to find many of my genetic cousins and see the family resemblance. Not just, oh, hey, you're my second cousin, you're my third cousin, and we kind of look the same. But I mean, undeniable, redheaded, freckled, facial structure features. And what an awesome thing to go through in my mid-40s. Now, in terms of the Supreme Court finally getting it right and saying there is no, discernible black and white, this is a woman's right to choose in our founding documents, they have kicked it back to the states. And as a Federalist, I applaud that. I applaud legislation at the lowest levels. And with this particular issue, I applaud discussions at the kitchen table. I mean, for God's sake, we just had an NBA basketball player who sent $100,000 to his girlfriend and asked her to have an abortion. And if he feels that strongly, he doesn't want a kid, it's his right to ask for that. And it's her right to say, no, I don't want an abortion. Send the money back. Or, yes, I want an abortion. I'm going to keep the money. Or, no, I'm keeping the baby and the money. She can do any one of those three things. And I want her to continue to have that choice. I just hope she chooses life.
Well, so why can't those people make that decision? When Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh, and Gorsuch were being interviewed by the Senate, all three of them said that Roe v. Wade was established law and then afterwards said about disestablishing it. Why can't they be straightforward? Why can't, if Amy Coney Barrett choose life, she does. If you've got a woman in Texas who chooses life, but then on the other hand has been told you have a non-viable fetus, and if you carry it to term, you're never going to be able to, you could potentially never have kids again.
I think all of those Supreme Court justices were telling the truth when they said Roe v. Wade, sorry, TBI, I hit my head a lot, was settled law. But that's not the case that came back before them. It was a new case. It was Casey versus something. I'm not Alan Dershowitz, but Roe v. Wade was not re-argued before the Supreme Court. So if you can just indulge me and let me be Hunter Biden's lawyer, they didn't lie. They heard a new case. They ruled in a new way. They kicked it back down to the states. And I applaud that decision to let people at the local level, whether you live in the Bible Belt, the Rust Belt, the Sun Belt, or in San Francisco, where homeless people have no belts, that you are free to lobby your local legislatures, your local lawmakers, and determine what works best for your community.
And now, is there a right to life if that child is a refugee?
In the womb? The child is a refugee in the womb?
Shortly after birth, are they still considered a viable child?
Okay, so if a refugee from another country came here to America and had a baby, yes, I still consider them a, I mean, you're trying to lay some trap for me, but yes, they're still a child. They're still a human being.
All right, with the couple minutes we have remaining, I want to point out that that criminalizing abortion doesn't stop abortion, Phil. It just means that your daughter dies horribly.
Okay, I have two daughters, and in terms of sex ed and contraceptive and all of those things, I would hope that I instill enough family values and enough good parenting in my daughters that they know how to have safe sex or no sex or abstinence or have all the sex they want and know where that they can buy a condom or know that they can walk into any Planned Parenthood, which does wonderful things besides provide abortions, and get on birth control without me, their dad, ever having to know. I hope none of those things come to pass and that they do come to me and say, hey, Dad, I'd like to get on birth control and I'm not really comfortable talking to you about the reasons. I would still say, okay, you know, get in the car with your mother and go down to Planned Parenthood and get on birth control so you don't have an unwanted pregnancy. But again, hear me out there in radio land. My mother in Washington State in 1977 chose life, and that's why we are having this conversation.
I'm glad we agree that Planned Parenthood has its uses. A very small percentage of what they do is of a nature that is going to be controversial, but if you vote against Planned Parenthood, you're voting for unplanned parenthood, for welfare, for drug abuse, for jails.
Hey, and you know, it's also a place where young single guys can go if they get the clap or any other sort of PD. Planned Parenthood, I might have to lose my libertarian/conservative Republican card into the Kevin McCartney Christmas fund. But I support Planned Parenthood because they also offer counseling services and they can help young women, young men, young couples choose life.
And I think that we've made our points, Phil. And once again, all too soon, we are out of time.
It's like we'll be here doing this again next week.
Yeah, somehow. All right, Phil, thank you so much for this discussion. I hope I was not too pointed, but you remember, man, I love you, man.
Happy New Year. See you on the other side.
All right, thanks, Phil. It's that time when I hearken back to a simpler time, before American women were issued hijabs, before the escape and evasion classes were taught in elementary, before Tasmanian tigers were resurrected and then recruited by the GOP. The only victims of them were their own constituents, who blamed the deaths on those gall-darn Antifa thingies. As we start the year, Hunter Biden did something wrong. Somebody stole his laptop, but it's his fault. Somebody stole Biden's daughter's diary, but it's her fault. They've been investigating these for 7 years, but it should all be wrapped up by October. Surprise! Kevin McCarthy became Speaker of the House of Representatives, give or take 15 tallies. The GOP just held it up out of reflex. Classified documents were found in Biden's old office. What was that, a cave? But these, well, Trump refused to declassify them with his mind. For the first time in 3 centuries, the doomsday clock was set to 90 seconds. At least we got to celebrate the 12th annual anniversary of the end of the world from back in December 21, 2012.
Queen Elizabeth died. Long live Queen Elizabeth. Bonnie Prince Charlie becomes King Charles, but there was no kingdom for him to kingify. The president that has never done anything wrong, his name escapes me right now, ended the year with 91 felony counts against him. That's felony with a capital F. I'm starting to wonder about this guy. Some women wondered if they would be loved if they were a worm. Sorry, nope. Fashion designers told this generation you had to look like a young boy from the back. Not even women-shaped women. And turns out men spent a lot of time thinking about ancient Rome. Good thing sex was invented in the 60s. A family values politician was outed as having a more interesting sex life than you. Not that one. No, not that one either. Or that one. Boebert committed a faux pas, or three. Santos was drummed out. Don't focus on Joe Biden's accomplishments. Fixate on that he is old. And Elon Musk, Elon Musk, Elon Musk. Hamas attacked Israel, so Israel counterattacked Gaza? Kind of like Al-Qaeda attacked America, so America attacked Iraq. And locally, the Lakewood City Council will swear in yet another newcomer to the area. His platform was that he was more deserving than the Marine that was censored. He owes a lot of help to his daddy-in-law that was censored. And 2003 was the hottest year on record so far.